Good evening. What a great crowd. It's so good to be out with you tonight. If you're visiting with us, again, thank you for being here. It's a great blessing and joy for us to have you here and for us to be together on this Good Friday service. On May the 10th, 1869, at Promontory Summit, Utah, the famous Golden Spike, also known as the Last Spike, was driven into the final railroad tie, joining the first continental railway across the United States. It was a monumental historic event. It drew massive crowd, the public attention. There were cheers, there were handshakes, there were photos taken. And the very moment that the spike was driven into the tie, a single word telegraph flashed across the entire United States. Done. That was the one word, telegraph. To exhibit the grand accomplishment, two locomotives, one approaching from the west, one approaching from the east, inched forward towards one another on the final completed railway until their cattle catchers touched. As significant as that historic event was in the history of our country, there's another historical event that makes that one pale in comparison. It was the moment that heaven and earth were joined when Jesus Christ cried out on the cross, "It is finished," which curiously and interestingly in the Greek is also one word, finished, done. Christ's final words were like that one word telegraph that flashed across the country when that golden spike was driven into the last tie, joining the east to the west. Done. It is finished. These history-fulfilling, history-changing words of Christ are recorded for us in the Gospel of John in chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. And I'll read those verses to you. John 19, 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it up to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When the Lord Jesus Christ said the words, "It is finished," on the cross, it was not in a defeated, dejected whisper like, "It's finished. I did all I could do. It's over. I tried my best." No. Matthew tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ said these words on the cross, that at his death, Jesus cried with a loud voice and lifted up his spirit. In other words, the words, "It is finished," were words of triumph and victory. They were words of mission accomplished. In the next few minutes, let me share with you seven reasons why they were words of missions accomplished. I'm very grateful for my old friend, Matthew Henry, and his commentary for helping me to compile these seven reasons why. So number one, when the Lord Jesus Christ declared in triumph, "It is finished," it meant for him that the malice and the enmity of his persecutors was over. When he took that drink of the sour wine that was offered to him by his enemies, he knew, because you don't offer sour wine to someone who's thirsty, he knew this is the last act of cruelty and evil they're going to do to me. For his entire ministry, many had rejected him. In this last week of our Lord's life, they had mocked him. They had scorned him. They had beaten him. They had crucified him with nails. But the sour wine, he knew, was the last act of their cruelty towards him while he was alive. And he cries, "It is finished." Number two, when the Lord Jesus Christ triumphantly cried, "It is finished," it meant that the eternal covenant between Jesus Christ the Son and his Father was fully and finally completed. And I say finally because before the foundation of the earth, before time, back in eternity, the Father and the Son had covenanted together that the Son would come to earth and redeem a lost, hopeless people. And they had covenanted that the Lord Jesus Christ would leave the glories and the splendors of heaven, come to earth and take on flesh as a man, live a perfectly sinless life, and die a sacrificial death in the place of those homeless, or not homeless, but hopeless and needy people. The crucifixion was not a random miscarriage of justice by the Roman government. The crucifixion was the eternal plan of God to fully satisfy his justice, that he might be the just and the justifier of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus cried, "It is finished," it was the completion of the grand plan of God's love for you and me. It was the completion of that verse that we so often love and love to quote. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When Jesus declared triumphantly, "It was finished," number three, it meant the fulfillment of all the types of Christ in the Old Testament. When I say the types of Christ in the Old Testament, the types of Christ refer to all those figures, all those events, all those people, all those symbols in the Old Testament that foreshadowed, that represented Christ and his work. And there are so many of them. Just a little sampling. Think about Noah and Noah's ark. That was a type of Christ. There was a man named Noah who obeyed God. And in obeying God, he provided and made an ark of salvation for people. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he obeyed God. And he is the ark of salvation for us. Think about that unfinished sacrifice of Abraham, of Isaac, when Isaac was caught in the bush. And God said, "Abraham, stop." That unfinished sacrifice of Abraham's son is a type of the finished sacrifice of God's son for us. Nearly everything in the temple and the Old Testament sacrificial system points to and represents Christ in some way. In the tabernacle, there was the menorah, the golden lampstand, typifying that Jesus Christ would come as the light of the world. There was the bread, the show bread on the table, typifying that the Lord Jesus Christ will come as the bread of life. And then remember the manna that God gave to his people to feed them and support them, another just type of Christ, that Christ would come again as the eternal bread of life coming down from heaven. The countless sacrificial lambs offered on the altar for sin was a type. That finally made John the Baptist's declaration make sense when John sees Jesus coming along the way and John says, "Behold, there he is. That's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The scapegoat on the Day of Atonement, on whom the priest would place his hands and the sins of the people would be imputed to the scapegoat. Christ took our guilt and our sin for us. The cities of refuge where if one had committed some wrongdoing, they could run to that city and find refuge and safety, and typifying that the Lord Jesus Christ is our city of refuge. And then there was that day when Moses held up that bronze serpent in the wilderness, and all the people were being bitten by these serpents. And Moses says, God, just raise up the bronze serpent, and all who look upon the bronze serpent will be saved. Pointing to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ one day said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And beloved, I could go on and on and on with these kinds of types. But when Christ said, it is finished, he was saying, in effect, all those symbols, all those people, all those events that represented me in the Old Testament, they are all fulfilled in me and by me. It is finished. Number four, Jesus declared triumphantly, it is finished. It means all the hundreds of prophecies of the Old Testament that were like signposts pointing to the coming of Christ into this world as God's Son and man's Savior. All those prophecies were fulfilled. Starting as early as Genesis 3:15, just shortly after the fall, it's prophesied that the Lord Jesus Christ would be born of a woman, and that he would crush and defeat Satan and the powers of darkness and evil, that he would reverse the curse. And from that point, there are 300 plus prophecies in the Old Testament that predict the coming and the living and the dying and the victory of Christ. And they were all fulfilled in him to a T. 700 years before he was born, Isaiah says in Isaiah 7:14, the Son of God will be born of a virgin. Hundreds of years before he was born in that tiny little town of Bethlehem, the prophet Micah said in Micah 5:2, he'll be born in the little town of Bethlehem. Zechariah 9:9 said, prophesied what would happen on Palm Sunday, that he would ride into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. And then Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 prophesy to us the cruel sacrificial death of Christ on the cross. Isaiah says he'll be pierced through for our iniquities. And even in this passage that we read in John, when on the cross, in his last moments of life, Jesus knew that the last prophecy about him was to be fulfilled. John tells us, he said, I thirst. And then John tells us that's so that Scripture would be fulfilled. To fulfill Scripture, he was given a drink of sour wine. That moment, that last moment right there on the cross, was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Psalm 69:21 that says this, for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. Amazingly, when they held that sponge of sour wine to Christ's mouth in scorn to quench his thirst, Jesus knew this is the last prophecy in the Old Testament that's going to be fulfilled about me while I'm alive. It is finished. When Jesus declared triumphantly, it is finished, sweetest of all, it meant that the awful guilt and sin that rightly condemns each and every one of us is taken away. On the cross, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died in our place. Our sin, the guilt of our sin, and the punishment of our sin was placed on him. We owed a debt we could not pay. In his death, he paid a debt he did not owe for our sin. And his atoning death on the cross meant our sin debt is stamped, paid in full. It is finished. And now that our sin debt is paid, we're fully forgiven. There is now, therefore, no condemnation, believer. And we have the promise of peace with God, eternal life, and abundant life now. Number six, when Jesus declared triumphantly, "It is finished," it meant that his perfect, sinless life offered in the place of sinners was fully accepted by heaven. As he walked around this earth, 33 years, he was sorely tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. He said, "I have come, O Father, to do your will." And there in the garden, when he felt such intense pressure with the cross just looming before him and feeling that pressure, he cries out not once, not twice, but three times, "Father, if there is any way that this bitter cup could pass from me, let it be so. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done." And so his final words in effect meant, "Father, it is finished. I have completed your will of being that sinless sacrifice, that lamb without blemish to rescue sinners, to bring them home to you." And then finally, when Jesus declared, not finally, number six, or yes, it is finally, number seven, when Jesus declared triumphantly, "It is finished," it meant that his sufferings were now finished. In the words of Matthew Henry, both those sufferings of his soul and those sufferings of his body. The anguish of soul that our Lord experienced. The agony of body. The humiliation, the beatings, the nails, they were unimaginable. But in it all, they did not take his life that day. That's not what was happening. No, our Lord laid down his life willingly, out of love for God and out of love for you and me. And with that work now finished, he will enter into the joy set before him, where he will reign, where he reigns even today, at the right hand of the Father. When that final golden nail was driven in on the Transcontinental Railroad, when that word, one word telegraphed, "Done," flashed around the country, when those two locomotives tapped their cattle catchers, history was made. The East and the West were joined. But on the cross, when the Son of God, the Savior of man, cried out, "It is finished, done," all of redemption was fully and finally accomplished. And heaven and earth were joined together in eternal love and peace. And what is the sure proof of it all? I mean, many a man had died on a Roman cross. Many a religious fanatic, many a religious zealot, deluded, made claims they could never fulfill. But before the Lord Jesus Christ cried out in triumph, "It is finished," he declared he would rise from the dead in 3 days, and he did. There at his empty tomb, the angel from heaven proclaimed for all the world to hear, for you and for me to hear, he is risen, which is also in the Greek one word, risen. You see, Jesus is done is proven by Jesus is risen. And because of that, in this crazy, upside, turbulent, divided, mixed up world, tonight we sing with joy and confidence and peace. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. We sing with joy and confidence. My debt is paid, and the victory won. The Lord is my salvation. That's why Good Friday is Good Friday. Friends, Jesus Christ is God's Son and man's Savior. We love him. We trust him. We exalt him. We follow him. Do you? We hope you do. He's a wonderful Savior. Let's pray together. Lord, there are many potential heroes in the world today, sports heroes, business heroes, tycoons. We'd pray tonight that you'd let our A number one, no close second competition hero be the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name, amen.